Blog Talk Radio. Takeover Tuesday. Takeover Tuesday. Hey. Takeover Tuesday. Takeover Tuesday, y'all. It's about that time. Takeover Tuesday with author Lucretia M. Jail. Hot topic, great conversation. Join the party and let's get it poppin'. Takeover Tuesday, y'all. Okay. With author Lucretia M. Jail. Let's go. Tuesday with author Lucretia M. Jail. Thank you so much for those that are joining me on the radio lines, on the Blog Talk Radio. For those that want to call in that are viewing me via Facebook, you can call in to 323-870-3769 and be a part of the show. I am so excited. Thank you, Marsha, that's joining us on Facebook, and those that have been really faithful and attentive to following us as we've been taking this journey. Of course, I have got to give a shout out to our sponsor, Apostle Johnny Floyd. He has been amazing in helping this vision to come to pass, and we are so grateful to him for all that he has done. So thankful for the coaching that he has given, as well as the support, and just for believing in the vision. So, everybody, this has been such an exciting run. I am just amazed at all that has happened. Last week, we are doing a simulcast with Facebook Live. So those that are not joining either via the phone lines or the internet, and have been joining via Facebook, I do appreciate you so, so very much. Our video last week hit numbers that was just mind-blowing to me. So I am so grateful. We have been discussing my book, Sophomore Mom, and all that goes along with being a teenage mom, and also touching on life as a survivor of sexual abuse. So we are so grateful just to be able to come on and to share my story and to touch the lives of those that have been impacted by not only my story, but the story of your own. I have had people to reach out to me that have said that this show has been a blessing to them. They have been able to see themselves in my story. And like I've said from the beginning, my story is not unique. There are many, many that have survived both childhood sexual abuse. There are many that have been teenage mothers, and hey, we made it work. We made it happen. So I am so grateful that God has given me this platform and this opportunity to share my story with you all, but not only to share the story of Sophomore Mom, my novel, for those that are not aware. You can order it by going to bit.ly/books/LA and go online, get those books. I will autograph them for you if you get the paperback copy. You can also reach out to me via Facebook or go to my website, www.lucretiaandjail.com. So we've been talking about Sophomore Mom, but just know that, again, I am author Lucretia Angel, and Sophomore Mom is one of several books that I have been blessed to pen. So I am just so, so excited. I'm excited for those that have joined me every week. Y'all like me. I like y'all too. It wouldn't be me if I didn't add a smile to your face or laughter to your heart, because if you know me, you know I'm going to do something that's going to make you smile, laugh, or raise an eyebrow. But I am just so, so very grateful for the opportunity to be able to have this platform. So with us talking about sophomore month, let me say this. This is a literary show, and I would be remiss if I did not mention some giants in my eyes in the literary industry. It's because of these people that I have the courage to not only become an author and pen the book that God has given me to write, but that have just helped me to take my writing to a whole other level. So a couple people I want to shout out is author and editor Sheila Bell. Sheila is amazing, and we are so very grateful for all that she has done. She has literally helped me to develop my craft in ways beyond imaginable. So if you are an author, if you have penned a work, Sheila works with me with my company, His Pen Publishing. But in addition to that, she has her own setup going. And so I would definitely recommend the services of author and editor Sheila Bell for all of your editorial needs. She is amazing. And I have the privilege of this weekend being a part of the Christian Book Lovers Retreat in Charlotte, North Carolina. There are going to be like 50 authors there and countless readers. So just to be able to have the opportunity to be amongst those that have a common vision, that share the struggle of writing and producing those books, marketing those books, it's going to be amazing. Because anytime you're able to come together with like-minded people that share your vision, share your goals, it's just a blessing. It's euphoric. And so whenever I have the privilege of being in a literary environment, it's like, just like adding lighter fluid to an already lit charcoal grill. It's going to blow up. So, I mean, for those of you that know how much I love writing, know how much I love the environment of writing, you know that to be at the CBLR is going to be just life-changing. So I cannot wait. Shout out to Vanessa Miller-Pierce, the event organizer, and her team. But, again, my literary giant, I have got to shout out none other than the Jacqueline Thomas. I can't even tell you how many books Jacqueline has published. I think she's like over 80 books now. But when I tell you she is a giant in the literary industry, I mean, Jackie has it going on. She also has a new book out entitled Phoenix. And I'm telling you, just the cover by itself ought to make you want to run out and buy the book. And so one thing about a true author is you wouldn't dare. There's no way I could write all the books in the world. I'm grateful for the books that I've had the opportunity to write. And all those that I am in the process of writing, I am so grateful for the fans that have followed me through this process, that have just been there for me, the ones that are knocking on my door, hitting me in my inbox, shooting me text messages, emailing me saying, hey, when is that next book coming out? Trust and believe, the next book is coming out. I am actively writing. I am actively working. So, Without further ado, tonight, our show topic, we're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness. when we think about forgiveness, okay, those that let me say this. There's no way I could even say that everybody that views this video that's watching via Facebook or everybody that's listening online is a Bible reader, Bible believer, God-fearing person. That would be dumb of me to even say that. So let me say this. You have some people that go by biblical principles. You have people that go by morals. And you have people that just do their own thing, or they go by the lifestyle that they have lived, or how they grew up. So, in so talking about forgiveness, we have some people that are like, I'll take it to my grave. I will never forgive you. I've actually heard that statement be made by people. Sometimes when someone brings harm to you, they bring harm to you, or they do something against you or against your loved one, it is so easy to say, I'll never forgive that person. I don't care. I ain't gonna lie, y'all. Let me be transparent. I have gone through some things in my life that literally I said, if the Joker was on fire, I wouldn't sit on him. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I mean, sometimes we go through so much that it's like, you know what, whatever with them. But is that the right approach? Is that the right attitude to have? As we dive into a little bit more on Sophomore Mom, the fact that she was a victim of sexual abuse, it's easy to be mad and stay mad at the abuser. Do they deserve your anger? I say so. I would say so. I wouldn't dare say that anybody that is an abuser gets a pass. What do they do that at? No. But you have to realize who is really hurt by your lack of forgiveness. Yeah, going through it was hard. Dealing with it for over 40 years, hard. Having your life completely impacted by the decisions of another to literally take away your power, that's hard. It's so hard to even imagine forgiving somebody that stripped you of what could have been a normal life. But what is a normal life? I'm going to say this. I was sharing with a friend. We were talking in regards to sexual abuse. And I realized that I had gotten to a point in my life that it seemed so common to me that when someone would tell me that they were not a victim of sexual abuse, I give them the side eye and turn my lips up like, yeah, right. I couldn't imagine someone not enduring that. I couldn't imagine a little girl, little boy growing up and never being a victim of sexual abuse by a friend, family member, whatever, teacher, someone in authority over them. So I realized that because of that, because of me not being able to imagine people not going through it, that it was easy for me to water it down or dummy down of molestation. I mean, to the point that I would use the word molested like it was nothing, like saying I'm going to the movies. Oh, yeah, I was molested. I didn't think anything of it. Or, man, she molested that child. You know, it's crazy how we can become so conducive to things, or we can be so accepting of things unknowingly that we make fun of the things that are so harmful. So when I would make the statement, you know, just in conversation telling people about things that I've been through, and they look at me like I was crazy. I'm like, what? You know, what's wrong with you? So, but going through it, going through the process, going through the counseling, again, if you have followed me from the beginning, you know I do recommend that if you experience not only sexual abuse, but any form of abuse in your life, I do recommend that you get help. It's okay to get counseling. It's okay to talk to somebody. I was speaking to someone once, and I said, I really feel like you need counseling. And she said to me, what I'm going to do, just sit down and tell somebody my problems, what's that going to do? But you would be surprised at the difference that it would make to have someone that you just talk it out with, somebody that's going to listen to you and offer you positive feedback. So if you, not only if you are a victim of abuse, but if you battle with depression, if you, I mean, just hit those hard places in your life, just talk to somebody. It's okay. Talk to somebody. You are not less of a person because of the fact that you talk to somebody. So talking about forgiveness, I was having a conversation with someone, and this person made the statement, and I wrote it down. So y'all can see me reading my notes that are on Facebook, but tune in for me. The greatest thing God has ever taught me, the greatest accomplishment that I have in life, is that he taught me how to forgive. Then they went on to say, let me not hold anybody hostage for what they've done to me. Let me not be angry anymore over what they've done to me. Father, I release them, because if I don't release them, you are not going to forgive me. Now, like I started off saying, you have some that have the biblical principles. And this conversation was based off us talking about the Lord's Prayer. As far as if I don't release them, then you are not going to forgive me. That's hard, because having that conversation, I realized that there are some people that I was like, yeah, I've forgiven them. Oh, yeah, I forgave him. I forgave her. I forgave them. It. But when he brought these things out, it made me say, have I really forgiven them? And so the ones that I would honestly say, now I don't believe I've forgiven that person, it made me wonder, does that person have a right to be forgiven? I mean, let's keep it real. We're human. We are regular people. So we're not superhuman. We're not bionic. We're not clones. We are regular people. So when somebody hurts you, or hurt someone that you're close to, I mean, does great harm to that person, even if that person doesn't realize they've been hurt. But you know that that person has hurt someone close to you. Do they deserve to be forgiven? Come on, y'all. Talk to me. Don't leave me out here by myself today, because people say everybody deserves to be forgiven. You know, forgive so that you can be forgiven. But there are people that have done some really hard and harsh things. I mean, think about it. You have people that have killed your loved ones, killed your friends. You have people that, those that are parents, that have brought harm to your children. Do you forgive that person? Is it okay to just be good with what they did? Is it okay to just give that person a pass? And then, you know, just oh, yeah, I'm just going to forgive him, and I'm just going to move on with my life, because I know if I forgive them, then, you know, that's the right thing to do. We're all Gucci. We're all gravy. Okay, I don't ever have to see him again. But then you have the famous saying, I may forgive you, but I will never forget. That's true. When people do things to you, you may not ever forget those things. But the question is, by saying I may forgive you, but I'll never forget, are you really forgiving them? Have you really forgiven them? Because if you make the declaration behind saying that you forgive that person, but then you say, I'll never forget. If I choose to never forget something, then that means I'm choosing to, at some point, go back and focus on what was done, or go back and focus on what was said. Think about it. I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Have you forgiven? So let's talk a little bit about sophomore mom, because we talk about the sexual abuse part of it, and we talk about, woe is me, woe, you know. But, okay, does her family need to forgive the person that hurt her? Her mama is ready to do some damage. Is her mom wrong for wanting to do some damage? Let's see what Marcia says. Marcia says, I don't think necessarily people deserve to be forgiven for certain things. But the bottom line is, I'm required to forgive. And that's what I have to do, because I need forgiveness. Interesting, Marcia. So she said, she doesn't necessarily think people deserve to be forgiven for certain things, but she's required to forgive. So I'll put you on the spot a little bit, Marcia, with your comment, because if you're forgiving out of requirement, is that true forgiveness? Y'all chime in, weigh in. Let's talk about this, because if you say, I'm doing this because I'm required to do it, right? That don't mean I gotta like it. I'm just doing it. But here is the thing. Ms. Horton says, forgiveness is really for you to be released. Now, that's the key of it all, because who's really hurt by unforgiveness? You or the person that you failed to forgive? That's the biggest part. Who is really, really hurt by that unforgiveness? Because I'm on the spot here. Those that are watching via Facebook can see my face, so you know I can't mask my thoughts or feelings from you all. I went through a situation to where I became so sick. I was so sick. I was constantly having chest pain. I mean, to the point that I constantly thought I was having a heart attack. The pain level was just beyond all imagination. And I'm like, what the heck is happening? I went to the doctors. I had countless tests done, some very, very expensive tests done, because I felt like I was dying. I was like, what in the world is this? A young woman, I was much younger than I am now, at least maybe 10 to 15 years younger than I am now, and I felt like I was dying. And after having all of these tests run and after going through all of this stuff, I was told the issue is not medical, but the pain that you're having in your heart is a result of the anger that you're holding on to. So I, at the time, I felt justified in my anger. I felt like the person that I was angry at or the people that I was angry at deserved my anger. They had done some stupid stuff. I mean, and when people willfully harm you, I mean, come on, let's be real. Not everybody has your best interest at heart. Not everybody cares about you. Some of you have had failed relationships. Some, like me, have had failed marriages where you commit to being with somebody thinking you're going to spend the rest of your life with them, but they do something, or you do something that ends that marriage covenant, and your life is never the same. So you hold on to these things, and you feel like it's because of them. It's because of them that my life is this or my life is that. But is it really? Because we as individuals, we have a choice to make. You can choose to give somebody your power. You can choose to let people can only treat you the way you allow them to treat you. You give people the right to treat you a certain way. Does that mean that when someone hurts you or harms you that it's your fault? No, I'm not saying that. Please understand I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is if someone brings harm to you or does something against you and you allow that person to continue to do those things, you've given them your power. Let's see what Latasia is saying on Facebook. She says, forgiveness is not for you, but for the one that caused the harm. Ask yourself this, do you deserve the forgiveness and grace of God after you have wronged someone? If yes, then doesn't the other person who wronged you deserve that same grace and forgiveness? I don't know. Do they? Do they? Because, okay, if we look at it from a biblical standpoint, no one sin is greater than the other. And, you know, God, like my mom said last week, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. So Latasha said it's for the one that caused the harm. Here's the thing, though. Not everybody that you forgive has the opportunity to know that you have forgiven them. There are some people that can do harm to you and not realize it. There are some people that do harm to you that you may never, ever come in contact with again. So does that person know that you have forgiven them? And the truth is, some people don't care. They don't care if you forgive them or not. They're like, whatever. So there are some people that willfully do things to you, against you, and dare you to say something. They're like, I don't care. There are people that feel like what they've done to you, you deserve it. That may or may not be true in their eyes, in their opinion. So not everybody have I had the opportunity to go back and say to them, hey, I forgive you. And, I mean, there have been people that I've had the opportunity to go back and say, I forgive you. And they'd be like, okay, so. So, again, we wonder, is that forgiveness for that person, or is that forgiveness for you? who's really hurt by unforgiveness. Of course, we are approaching the halfway mark in the show, so we are going to take just a moment and do our commercials, and we will be back in just a second.
Are you enjoying the show and want to experience more of today's story? You can do so by purchasing your copy today at bit.ly/LaCrecia. Again, that's bit.ly/LaCricia. This book is available in both paperback and ebook. Happy reading! Authors, have you completed your manuscript but have no clue how to move forward? Let us help. His Pen Publishing has a knowledgeable staff and all the tools you need to get you published. With affordable pricing to fit your budget, we'll take you from manuscript to market in no time. Visit us online at www.hispenpublishing.com. Join Apostle Johnny Floyd weekly on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern for an in-depth study of the book Spiritual Authority by Watchman Nee. Dial in to the show at 323-870-3769, or you can tune in online by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Apostle Floyd.
Right. Okay. Those are our commercials and our sponsor. We thank him once again, Apostle Johnny Floyd. He has been amazing and instrumental in bringing the show together and making it happen. Again, I am author LaCrecia Angel, and we are talking about my book, Sophomore Mom, which is one of several books that I have penned. To order Sophomore Mom or any of my novels, you can go to bit.ly/books/LA and order either the paperback or the ebook. You can also go to my website, www.lacriciaangel.com, and there you can order copies where I will autograph them for you, give you that personalized autograph, let you know how much I appreciate you. It is gift-giving season coming up, Christmas time, so what better gift to give than an autographed copy of a book by author LaCrecia Angel. So, not only are we going to be talking about Sophomore Mom today, but I also want to get into one of my other novels, which is Girl Nall. Girl Nall. And for those that have read Girl Nall, I have gotten so much feedback. Positive feedback on this book. We all have some girl now moments. Some things we go through in life. Girl now is universal. For those that are not of Southern heritage and be like, girl now, what is that? Girl now is universal because girl now can be used in a funny term like girl now. And if somebody do something crazy, be like, girl now. Are you going to do it? Girl, no. Mm-mm. So then some crazy I'd be like, girl, no. So girl, no is going to hit every emotion that you have. You're going to have some moments of laughing. You're going to have some moments that you want to straight go gangsta on somebody. You're going to have moments of pure joy and moments of tears. Yeah. So that's Girl Nall. And that also, in addition to Sophomore Mom, Girl Nall is what is causing us to broach the topic of forgiveness on today. Let's see what Helen is saying. Miss Helen said, forgiveness is not for the perpetrator. It is for you. When you forgive in the spiritual realm, because you are not able to do it from a human point, you are truly able to release it to God. Okay, so Miss Helen, she's saying that it's not for them, it's for you, and releasing it in the spiritual realm, right? What about the people that ain't thinking about God? What about the people that don't have a relationship with God, those that don't even believe in God? So do we want to say that's only, you know, that forgiveness only leads to the spiritual side of things? Or, like I was mentioning before the commercial break, and I know Facebook, please forgive me for whatever reason we have connection issues, I'm not sure. But getting back to it, health reasons. Unforgiveness will eat you up. Unforgiveness is like the biggest, it's like the biggest, for lack of a better expression, cancer. It's literally, in my opinion, it's like holding yourself hostage. If you're not forgiven, it's like holding yourself hostage, because every time you think about that person, every time you think about what that person has done, or something somebody has said, then you arrest yourself all over again. Have you ever been in a situation to where you were having a good day? I mean, things seemed like they were going great. Everything was just on point. Seems like everything was falling into place. And then somebody will mention a person's name that you went through something with. Or somebody will bring up a situation that you went through, and your whole mood shifts, like your whole atmosphere changes. It was like you were good until they, why you have to bring them up, or why you have to bring that up? I was doing fine. I've been in situations to where I was at work and having a great, great day, and somebody unknowingly asked me about someone, and like literally, just everything about me seemed like in that moment it changed. And I was like, why am I giving so much power to this situation? Anytime we give enough power to a situation that it can change your entire mood and the entire course of your day, then that's an issue. That's an issue. And then at that point, it's not about that other person. Because when you're laying in your bed at night, or you're in your alone time, you're in those moments by yourself, and you are wrestling with that thing, more than likely, that person is not thinking anything about you. They couldn't care less about you in that moment. But you yourself are wrestling with that thing. You are the one that's struggling with that thing. You are the one that is losing sleep or not eating, in my case, eating too much. And that person has literally gone on with their lives, but you're sitting there under arrest. You are sitting there just, feeling horrible. And that person is, you are probably the furthest thing from that person's mind. Let's see what Latasha says here. She said, when I say forgiveness is for the one who wronged you, I mean that throughout the Bible we are told, commanded even, to forgive the faults or wrongdoings of others just as God has forgiven you. Forgiveness is for the perpetrator. Healing is for the one that has been perpetrated against. I like that, Latasha. I like that. Because healing, she brought up a really, really good point. She brought up a really good point. Healing. That's what forgiveness really boils down to. The act of forgiveness, the thought of forgiveness, it leads to healing. Because as long as you refuse to extend that forgiveness to a person, no matter how big you perceive their sin against you of being, as long as you choose to not forgive that person, as long as you choose to dwell on that thing, you can never heal. And without healing, you can never truly move forward in your life, because every time you try to take a step forward, you are going to think back on that thing. You're going to think back on that situation or multiple situations. How many of you have heard somebody make the statement, "I can't win for losing"? I can't win for losing. It seems like every time I try, everything I do, every situation I'm in, I can't win for losing. I can't seem to make it happen. I can't seem to make it work. But we have to realize that there is power in our words. It's power in the words that you speak. And as long as you continue to declare over your life that you can't win for nothing, or everything is going bad, or you can never get ahead, the more you speak that, the more that is going to manifest in your life. So let's segue over to Girl Naw. Because in Girl Naw, Antoinette is the main character, and she is a counselor for women. Antoinette deals with people that go with everything from going through situations on their job to domestic violence to, you know, just feeling like I have everything, but I'm lonely. And although Antoinette is able to be a great counselor to them, and she's able to help them with their lives, Antoinette, she struggles with some things of her own. So just because you're sitting across a person and you're pouring out your situation into them, and they may be giving you great advice, that doesn't mean that that person has it all together. We put far too much trust and too much stock into individuals. We put we give our power and our strength. We give everything into people's opinions sometimes. I was speaking to someone on yesterday, and they said to me, "Why do you care what people think? Why? What does caring what people think add to you? How does it help you by caring what people think? Caring about what people think to the point of some things that you literally won't do because you're worried about the opinions of others. Why? How many times have we as individuals failed to do the thing that would bring us great success or bring us peace, happiness, whatever, because we're worried about what somebody else thinks? Why? But here's the thing with Antoinette and Girl Naw. Who counsels the counselor? A lot of times we be there so much for other people. You know, we're always that listening ear. We're always the one that they can count on. No matter what time, day or night, if our phone rings and they're on the other end, they are I mean, we're going to answer no matter what. But who counsels the counselor? You know, I dealt with a situation, transparency moment, with a really good friend of mine. And I'm thinking, I'm telling my friend about everything that's going on. I'm just sharing with my friend. But then I had to realize that me just sharing with my friend, I'm unknowingly using that friend as a wastebasket. You know, not trying to, but sometimes we can use people as dumping grounds and wastebaskets, not knowing, because we are so busy taking things to people. Come on, here comes the spiritual side, but we are so busy taking our problems, our situations to people and not taking it to God, that we are weighing them down when honestly they can't fix the situation. And then, let's be real, we can share our situations with people. We can talk all day and all night about what we're going through to people. But the minute that their opinion does not line up with our thought process, then it's an issue. Why is that? Why is that? Because we have given them our power. Like Latasha said, should you care? Girl, no. So, me, I'll talk about me all day, all night. I wonder often how much further along I would be in life if I stopped long ago caring about what people thought. I allowed myself to be arrested by people's opinions. And y'all just know that this is the only kind of arrest I can mention, because she ain't been to jail. let's make that plain. But I've allowed myself to be in the prison of my own thoughts and in the prison of people's opinions. Why? So those that follow me on Facebook saw where I did a post today, and I said, knowing who you are is more powerful than any drug. And I'm not just talking about street drugs, stuff like that. Ain't done that either. But when you know who you are, then you're able to walk in the lifestyle that you're meant to live. You're able to move forward into everything that God has designated for you. Because if my focus is on doing what God called me to do and being who God created me to be, then I no longer have time to allow the opinions of man or woman, boy or girl, dictate my steps. So, with Girl Now, the biggest thing that we face with this book, and we as individuals a lot of times face, we're talking about forgiveness. People say, sometimes they say, it's easy to forgive us. Okay, yeah, I'm forgiving somebody because of what they did to me. I'm forgiving people because I'm required to do it, or it's the right thing to do. But what happens, and I want y'all to chime in on this, what happens when the person that you are failing to forgive is yourself? How many times are we more willing to forgive others than we are to forgive ourselves? Now, that's the key, because it's who's really hurt by unforgiveness, you or the person you failed to forgive. But why do we constantly beat ourselves up over decisions that we made that didn't work out, or that we've fallen short on, or that mess. I mean, come on. I made some decisions that I felt like messed up everybody's lives. As crazy as that sounds. Going back to sophomore mom. Being a teenage mom, Liana, when she made the decision to have sex unprotected, unmarried, when she made that decision and a baby was created, right? Her decision affected everybody's lives. She forced her decision, one decision of having unprotected sex that led to pregnancy, caused everybody's lives to be changed, everybody's lives to be shifted. Her mother's life was changed because now you have a mother that felt like she's raised her kids to the point that she can actually live her life. Now she has to assist her 15-year-old daughter with a baby. I mean, she has siblings. Their lives are going to be changed because even if it's changed with something as simple as now my peace and my sleep is interrupted because I got a baby crying in the other room. So, and the boy's life was changed because now he's put in a position of being a father. But here's the thing. We always want to talk about the girl for getting pregnant, the girl because her stomach is swollen, the girl because you can see the evidence of her indiscretion. Whereas the boy, he's gone on about his business. You don't, unless you know he's the father, then you don't know. People are not going to ridicule him, even though the girl didn't commit the act by herself. So one thing I do not want to do in discussing sophomore mom, I never, ever, ever want to glamorize teenage pregnancy, because there is nothing glamorous about teenage pregnancy. There's nothing glamorous about a teenage girl that becomes a mom or a teenage boy that becomes a father. And when we don't, as parents, hold our teenage sons accountable, we're basically giving them a pass. Go pop this girl, pop her, pop her, pop her. You've given him a pass to make multiple babies because he's not being held responsible. How many times have you heard a mother who wasn't there, mind you, say, "It's not my son's baby. Oh, I know that's not my son's baby," while the girl is still even pregnant? You don't know what happened, what occurred between that young man and that young woman. But the boy, 9 times out of 10, gets to go off scot-free. And the girl is left with the baby. The girl is left having to make the sacrifices. The girl is left and her family taking care of the baby. Because a lot of times in those situations, when the parent of the young man is saying, "It's not my son's baby," then they're not trying to chip in to help with that child either. So we don't ever want to glamorize teen pregnancy because it's hard. I'm telling you, to have your life completely changed, you are yet a child, and you have the responsibility now of an adult. You have to make sure that that other person that you are raising or that you gave birth to, you got to make sure that that child eats, or that when that child is asleep, or when that child is sick. Just because you are underage at the time, that doesn't make you any less of a mother. That doesn't make you any less responsible for that child's life. So, no, being pregnant and having baby showers and all of that, that ain't cute. That's not cute. It's not something to be admired. I was speaking with someone on last week, following last week's show, and we talked about my actual labor experience when I gave birth to my daughter. And as I was talking to him, I talked about the nurse and how mean she was. And I was like, and then you could clearly hear a woman and her husband on the other side of the hall, and that woman was being ugly to her, but she was just being so nice to them and so attentive. And he said, but why are you angry with the nurse? Because, now mind you, this was 27 years ago. I'm angry with her because of the way she treated me all those years ago. Just because I was a teenage mother, she didn't have to treat me like that, is what I said to him. But, again, he made a really good point. He said, but the nurse didn't put you in that position. You don't know what kind of day she was having. You don't know what kind of situation the nurse was facing. But you choose to hold on to anger over someone that was or was not doing their job in the way that you felt like they should do it, but yet you hold the young man harmless. So how often are young girls that become mothers or are pregnant hold the young man harmless? Oh, well, I don't care. He don't want to be a daddy, then that's on him. Why let him off the hook that easy? Why let it go like that? Why not make the young man that helped create that life just as responsible? So, again, there are us, this show is about forgiveness, so we're still talking about forgiveness, but I brought those situations up to say there are so many areas in our lives we think that we just have to forgive people for big things. Or we have to forgive those that are closest to us or have been closest to us. Oh, well, I just got to forgive them because they did something major. But anything that is constantly eating you away, you got to forgive because you are the one that is truly hurt by your unforgiveness. Latasha said earlier, and it's an internal death. It really is. You are literally, when you're not forgiving yourself and you're not forgiving others, you are just allowing yourself to die inside. Let that stuff go. Let it go. People say that's easier said than done. Some of you are probably saying that right now with me saying let it go. I said it. That's easier said than done. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what my struggle is. You don't know how my life has been affected since this or that happened. If you don't let it go, you can never, ever, ever move forward. You can never achieve all that God has for you as long as you allow yourself to hold on to the bitterness of the past. If someone mentions a person's name to you, or you see a picture of that person, or you see anything related to that person, and you have a reaction, that lets you know. I don't care how long ago it happened. I don't care if it happened earlier today. If a situation is brought to your attention and you have a reaction from it, then know that that's an area that you need to let go. That's an area you need to exercise forgiveness because it's not just for them, it is for you. Now, before I go, I have to announce the winner from last week for our autographed copy of Sophomore Mom and the bracelet set, the customized bracelet set. And see, we had a lot of responses, and it was through random draw. The winner was none other than Miss Deanna Kensey. Congratulations. You will be getting your customized bracelet set and your autographed copy of Sophomore Mom. But this has been a great, great conversation today. And thank you so much for my my Facebook people that have just jumped in. Y'all got with me today. I appreciate it. I appreciate those that are going on the phone line and that are joining via the internet. You have been amazing. So until next week, we are coming back with Takeover Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit more about your mom. So that we can make this happen, Catherine. Again, let's remember that dynamic editor, Sheila E. Bell. Shouts out to her. If you're looking for an editor, I know we're probably off the radio right now, but I do want to tell my Facebook Live people, if you are looking for an awesome editor for your book, please reach out to Sheila Bell. She can be found on Facebook, or you can reach out to me, and I will share that information with you. Also, check out Phoenix by Jacqueline Thomas, her newest release. She is my literary giant and mentor. Thank her so much. Also, check out my book, bit.ly/bookbyLA or www.lacriciaangel.com. Thank you for joining. Thank you for the new viewers on Facebook. Thank you for those that have been rolling with me from week one. It has been amazing, amazing, amazing. I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I pray his blessings upon you. Until next Takeover Tuesday, be blessed. Thank you. Really?